In the letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, the 17th verse, and in the fourth chapter, verses 5 and 6, the words of the most holy God says this: "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is the last sermon in our series on living the Christian life in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to Christianity. It's the same thing that they faced in the church of Colossae. Paul had been there, they established a church, but before they had been taught Christian ways, Paul had to leave. So they only had about a week's worth of teaching, and they were in trouble because they were trying to fit themselves into their society by mingling the Christianity with paganism and by adopting the secular philosophers' teachings as well as Christian doctrine. So they were in a mess. Paul found out about it and wrote this letter to help them learn how to live out their Christianity. And our first sermon, we talked about how you live a Christian life with those closest to you. Now, that's probably the hardest. It's a lot easier to live a Christian life before virtual strangers than it is with the people who are with you 24/7, parents, spouses, brothers, sisters. I don't know about your family, but in my family, every once in a while, Christianity seemed to kind of go by the wayside. There was a dispute. Now, if my sister Sherry had just behaved herself, we'd have been fine. Poor old Sherry, I pick on her. Hey, she picks on me. But those people that see us the most often, they're more likely to catch us not living up to those things we'd like to live up to. Then we talked about living the gospel in our daily relationship with Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian as opposed to hint? To be a pagan worshiper. How is worshiping the one true God different from the pagan life around them where they feared the gods? The whole point was to appease them and to bribe them and to manipulate them to doing what you wanted to do. And God, the real God, needs no appeasement. And he cannot be manipulated. So it's different how we live that life out than the neighbors were living. Today we're going to talk about what it's like living a Christian life in a non-Christian environment. You know, this is probably not going to shock you, but America is not a Christian nation. It's not. I wish it was, but it's not, and there's no point pretending that it is. I'm not 100% sure that it ever was, but it used to be more than it is now. We are not a Christian nation, so we are living as Christians in a very foreign society. That's one of the reasons that this letter to the Colossians was so important, because it's addressing the same things that we're living with now. We're living in that same kind of environment. And the idea of Christianity was so distorted back then. Now, it's distorted now. But back then, they thought Christians were cannibals, that they engaged in incest. Let's deal with those two first. Why would they think Christians were cannibals? Yeah, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, Holy Communion. If you're just living outside of that and just hear about it, doesn't it sound cannibalistic to you? We're eating the body and blood of Christ. Okay. Those people are freaky. And that's the rumors that were going around. This letter was written 2 years before Nero became the emperor of Rome, and the Christians were being killed, arrested, killed, thrown to lions, executed, crucified, just for being a Christian, because the people around them had a distorted view of what Christianity meant. Well, why would they think that Christians engaged in incest? That's a little more puzzler, isn't it? Well, if I'm talking to Brother John and Sister Peggy, if I'm talking to Brother Robert and Sister Ruth, if everybody addresses each other as brother and sister, what would you think? And that's what they thought. They thought that because people were addressing each other as brother and sister, that they were having sexual relations within close family. And that has always been taboo, even in pagan religions. So two things that are abhorrent to almost anybody on the planet for all time, incest and cannibalism, that's what they thought Christians were. And then to top it off, if you truly believe in your heart of hearts that the only way that you are going to ever prosper or maybe even survive, not just as a person, but as a nation, is by appeasing the gods, then what about these people who refuse to worship those gods? Aren't they anti their own nation? We would call it, you know, in the same thing, we'd call it un-American. Not so different. The reasons are different, but Christians are still viewed this same way. Why are Christians viewed as un-American? We're not tolerant. There are things that we simply will not say are okay. We just won't say it's all right, because it's not all right. Therefore, we're un-American because it's American to be tolerant. One of the things that the church has actually fallen into a little more than it should have is democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say unapologetically that Christianity is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. God is in charge, and we don't get to vote on what he does and doesn't do. He's God. Now, that's okay, because look at who we vote in. No offense, Richard. Didn't mean you, Richard. Sometimes a girl just can't resist. We're glad you're here. But think about it. Would you rather have an all-knowing, all-loving God in charge or somebody that we can pick? And sometimes we do well with that and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we vote things in that we shouldn't, and sometimes we vote things out that we should keep. And the church is not a democracy. The church is led by the Spirit of God. All of us come into this with an idea that we are to be in submission to God's will. And God's will isn't necessarily my will. It's not necessarily Larry's will. Although Larry and I are pretty much on target most of the time. Aren't we, Larry? Yeah. But all of us together seeking God's will, we're going to find it. As long as we set our egos aside. See, that's part of the problem with democracy is you got these big egos going on. God does not do things by majority rule. And if you read the scripture, he never has. He's always gone for the least, the last, the smallest. I think largely because they're willing to be submissive. But think about it. Well, what other ways are we considered crazy? Those Christians are crazy, you know. Think of some of the things we believe in. Yeah, we believe in worship. In a fast-paced world. We came here today when we could have been fishing, when we could have been sleeping, when we could have been at the mall. Y'all are sitting there going, hurry up, we got all these things today. When we could have went to doing all of these things, we take time out and we come together corporately to worship. Can you worship on the golf course? Yes, you can. But the Bible said, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Because we draw strength from each other. I always love the old story. Some of the old stories are the best. There's a story of way back. This man been out of church for a long time. The preacher went to see him and, you know, man opened the door. Preacher standing there, knows what he's there for. Invites him in, cup of coffee. And the preacher just sat there, didn't say a word. It was in cool weather, so there was a fire in the fireplace, and the preacher went over and took this one coal and just drug it out so that it was out on the hearth away from the rest. And what happened to that coal? Started going out, didn't it? And when it looked like it was just about to completely go out, he pushed it back over with the rest, and it just lit right back up. And the man said, all right, preacher, point taken. Point taken. We need each other. Crazy. We're crazy to talk about the things that we talk about. It's not popular. Not popular at all to say sexual relations should be between a man, a woman who are married. That's not popular. But it's what the Bible says for our benefit, for the benefit of the world. Now, have many Christians messed up in that area? Of course they have. Are they forgiven? You bet they are. It's no worse than any other sin. The problem people have with what we believe is we won't say what's wrong is right. It's not that we don't do wrong things. The problem comes when you do the wrong thing and then say it was right. It was okay. Christianity is considered old-fashioned, out of date. And particularly difficult for the young to understand. Very difficult for the young to understand. Because when young people come to church, number one, they're probably bored because there's not enough screen. And there's not a joystick or buttons. And you know, the thing is, that's okay because that is the way they communicate. You know, it's up to the church to keep up with these kinds of things as best we can. And, you know, I'm technologically challenged. I push a button, and even that doesn't always work. Okay? I am not that savvy. So, how are we going to reach out? It said in what we just read that we need to be prepared to witness. Make the most of the time. That means every opportunity you get, you need to be setting people straight about what it means. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. If you don't believe that the days are evil, pick up the paper. Now, I never get to read Sunday's paper. I wish that you could do that. Need to tell Danny about that. They need to fix it with the Kingsport Times that you can get all the week, but I never get to read Sundays. So we need to be able to do that. But I read the paper, you know, every day, and I'm amazed. Drugs, murder, prostitution rings, people doing things unspeakable to small children. And it's in there every day. The times are evil. If we aren't going to speak, then who will? If we're not going to stand up for what's right, then who will? We need to be prepared with an answer. That means we need to stay learning. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to have a big revelation, you know, all the time, but I'm just interested. It's not to really put you on the spot. Who learned something new? I won't ask you what, okay? But who learned something new or had a really great experience happen between them and God this week? Learned something new this week. Okay? A few people learned something new this week. That's good. I won't ask you to hold your hands up on this, but I'm going to ask the question. How many of you have spent time in God's Word this week? Real time to learn. Let me ask you the question. This letter was written 2 years before Christianity became completely outlawed. If Christianity were to become outlawed, what would you do? Have you got enough inside of you to keep you going? Have you got enough inside of you to spread the gospel? Do you have enough inside of you to carry you through? I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but I do believe it'll eventually happen. May happen sooner than we think, but think about it. Do you know enough? Could you get through on what you've got now? We need to learn. We need to make the most of the time we have, folks, because nobody knows how much time we've got. It'd be wonderful if nobody died before 100. You know, if we all lived to be at least 100 and lived in perfect health up until then and then just laid down, went to sleep, that was it. That'd be great. That's not how it works. We don't know how much time we have. That's why it's important to enjoy this minute. I'm enjoying this minute. I'm looking out and I've got some new faces to look at. That makes me happy. I'm looking out and I see people that I have seen here for years. We call you all the pillars. Pillars of the church. It makes me smile. I'll tell you what will really make me smile is when every person that associates themselves with Kendricks Creek United Methodist Church takes seriously the fact that they are Christians and that they are called to be a witness of the gospel in every day, every way, unashamed and unafraid. First Peter, it says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. When you witness for the gospel, please, please, please don't be banging people over the head with your Bible. Figuratively or literally. Don't do that. Show respect. The witnesses showed up at my house on Friday. It happens. It happens. And they showed up and it was a very young girl and an older lady. Just sweet as they could be. They went around and they were knocking on doors and you could tell this little girl was scared to death. Just terrified. But you know, she had a strong belief and she was living through that, even though she was absolutely terrified to go knocking on people's door. And she said, we are encouraging people to read the Bible. And I said, that's a very good thing to do. And she said, today we are focusing on people who have suffered a loss. And they wanted to read a scripture to me, so of course I'm all about that. And so I let them read a scripture to me. By the way, the Jehovah's Witness Bible is not an authorized edition. Let's put it that way. It is of their own making. But anyway, she read a scripture to me out of Revelation. And then she offered me literature. Now, I have to admit, the first thing I think of is if I take that, then I can destroy it. And that'd be one less for them to give to somebody else. But I didn't do that. This is what I said. I said, you know, I am a United Methodist pastor. I do not believe the way you believe, but I respect very much that you are willing to go from door to door encouraging people to know Christ. Even if what they are doing is distorted, I wanted them to know that I respected their fervor, that I respect their right to believe how they believe, but that I will say they're right. I'm not going to go that far. I can respect people without telling them they're right. And I'm glad to talk to them, Phil. You know, I'm glad to let them talk to me if they're willing to let me talk to them, but they never are. Gentleness and reverence. You got to show people that the Christ in you is making a difference in how you treat people. Let your words be gracious. Because like it or not, a great Bible scholar named F.F. Bruce says this, the reputation of the gospel is bound up with the behavior of those who claim to have experienced its saving power. You are the Bible to most people. They've never heard a sermon. Except unless, you know, they got stuck at a funeral. They have never picked up the scripture to read it. So the only thing they know about Christianity is what they see in you. What do they see? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.